If it's something that I don't want to eat, I don't see the reason to kill it. These targets are a heck of a lot easier to clean, and to me, sometimes they taste better than duck.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores all the Idaho shops, clubs, businesses, and basically the places that you drive by all the time, but maybe haven't stopped into. I'm Lacey Daly.
And I'm Joel Wayne.
Hey-ya.
Hey-yo. What's happening, short stuff?
Don't tell people how short I am. Gosh, what's the advantage of it just being my voice?
Yeah,
let's just get right into it. We are going to check out Black Dog Clays.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shotguns, right?
Shooting stuff.
Clay?
Shooting
skeet?
Targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I hate this when I nominate something that I fear you might know a lot about and I know next to nothing. Ask me if I've ever fired a gun.
LD, have you ever fired a gun?
I have not. But in full transparency.
Have you always been funny?
That I have. In full transparency, you and I have talked throughout the seasons of this podcast of wanting to do some sort of gun or firearm, not mm-hmm. to make it a political issue, but just like we're in Idaho. That's
yeah.
a big, I think we have some of the highest gun ownership rates in the country.
Sure.
So.
And for me, it doesn't necessarily have to be political to still be an interesting discussion.
Yeah. So have you done target shooting, clay shooting, that kind of thing?
I have gone out. I think I've only gone out once.
Have you been to this place?
I have been to this place. Strangely enough, I have been once. This sounds very, very odd. I did not shoot. It was for a fundraiser type of event, and I was a volunteer.
We won't even get into the details
yeah,
on that.
So a very, very strange
confirm for me, thing. Though, like it's way the heck out there.
It is,
like,
yeah.
Cole in Boise.
It's going out
Cuna?
Towards, yeah, so remember when we went to Birds of Prey, actually, you pass by it. So I don't, you say like that I would know more, I might know a little bit more than you because I have been out once and I've shot shotguns before.
Mm-hmm. I played Duck Hunter. I'm sure there's
so
a lot
So then you probably
of, like,
know as yeah. much as I do.
A lot of relevance there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to open with that when we go there.
Okay,
though.
Okay. I hope you do, but... So what's your central concern then here?
Who does this? Who is going out to shoot clay targets? Do they also hunt, or mm-hmm. do they do this instead of hunting?
Yeah, is it like a separate sport
right.
entirely?
Because the way I was thinking of it is it kind of like a driving range for golfing?
Mm.
And I'm thinking, well, I go to the driving range when I'm getting ready to play golf, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I should really get my clubs out and practice. Is this like practice for hunting? I'm sure maybe that's a facet of it, but I'm seeing on their website that they have leagues. So it's like a sport competition.
Right.
So I guess I'm curious who's doing it and then how often are they doing it that this business is making money?
Right.
I did reach out to their general manager, Phil.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure. Again, I think that because guns can be a political issue, that mm-hmm. there's just a little bit of nervousness around that. And I didn't want to just come up with a microphone and expect him to be open to it.
Right.
But we exchange emails and he is open to it.
Great. Yeah.
Just talking about the business, figuring out who's going there and what's going on.
Sure. Why not? Are you ready? Do you have your shooting jacket with a leather patch?
I got to go to the store.
Earplugs at the very least.
Do we have to bring our own? Are you serious?
Probably not a bad idea. I don't know.
Where do I get earplugs? Boise Army Navy has earplugs.
Yes, that I am 100% positive that they have earplugs.
Hmm. Okay.
If only we're on the way.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, let's take a break to get those earplugs.
And then head up. Pew, pew.
Joel, what's one thing you think our listeners have in common?
They think we're funny.
Okay. Less about us and more about the podcast here. All the places we visited are in...
Idaho.
Yes. So our listeners probably enjoy exploring and learning about Idaho?
Yeah, I'd take that bet.
So don't you think that they should check out the Idaho State Museum?
Totally. It has so many exhibits and all this information about this great state of ours.
We're talking over 500 artifacts, 46 multimedia displays, and nearly 900 photographs that all help tell the story of the people and landscapes of Idaho. Doesn't that sound like something our listeners would be into?
I think they'd really dig it.
Learn more about upcoming exhibits, museum hours, admission pricing, and special events at history.idaho.gov.
So just pulled up.
Yeah.
It's quite a view.
We are, yeah, definitely pulled away from all the...
the hustle and bustle of city life.
Yeah. And you got a nice, like, 360 view here, really.
Yeah.
There are probably 85%, 90% trucks.
Yeah.
In the parking lot. There's, I mean, probably like 15 cars here or vehicles here.
Yeah. Which, to be honest, surprises me. I don't know why that ever surprises me when we do any of this stuff.
It's a Thursday afternoon, though.
But that's what it is. It's a Thursday afternoon. And for some reason in my head, and I didn't realize that I was thinking this, but we got here and I thought we were going to be like the only car here.
Yeah, no.
For a Thursday afternoon, but obviously not. And maybe too. So we're seeing some people going
with guns.
Over
the shoulders.
Yeah, going over to a platform and shooting vests. And it looks like an older crowd. And so maybe it is retirees.
Same thing you'd see at a driving range during the day.
There you actually. Go. There you go.
And look, there's like a little cart. It almost looks like a caddy.
Yeah. should we go and meet with
Phil?
Phil?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We meet up with Phil, the longtime manager of Black Dog Clays, who takes us on a short tour of the clay range, shotguns popping off in the background. Phil kicks things off with a brief definition of clay shooting.
Okay, so basically sporting clays is a game where you go from station to station to shoot at clay targets that really aren't clay, but one and then the other or both at the same time. The two types of pairs that we throw are report pairs, like the menu says here, or true pairs. Report pairs, when the shooter's in the box ready to shoot, they'll call pull and somebody will push the button to throw the A target, and on the report of their gun, they'll push the button to throw the B target. So to show you kind of what that looks like, and I'm sure it really comes out well on audio, but if I push this button, it'll throw the A target, and bang, and I push the other button, it throws the B target.
Oh.
Or the other kind of pair is when you call pull and you get both at the same time, is called a true pair.
Oh, okay.
When I say, you ready? Pull. And both targets go.
So
this system counts up the number of times you punch the button. And so when you come in, we take off what we call a show me pair, because you get to look at a pair at each station before you shoot it, so it's not a mystery.
Uh-huh.
And anything for a small amount for breakage. And then we charge you for what's left on the target. So it's a count up system that we use to get paid for the targets that we throw.
Gotcha.
Right.
So history of this area, back in the mid-60s, this became a trap and skeet range. Or he started it with just trap shooting.
Okay, what is trap shooting?
Trap shooting is where you've got a house in front of you that has a hidden machine, and you can kind of see the remnants here of, this would be the 16-yard line, and they're shooting at targets coming out of that house. Clear back to the back, which is 27 yards, and the machine is oscillating between two parts of a 30-degree angle, and you don't see it, of course, it's hidden, and wherever you call pull is where it's going to go. There's no twist or curl. It's got to be at 42.5 miles an hour and 8.5 feet in the air at its apex. And so I've heard people describe the trap shooters as being a turret on a tank, and all they do is go back and forth and shoot at targets.
But you can't predict where it's going to be, right?
You can't predict.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
But if you're in a competition and you shoot 100 targets in the competition, chances are if you don't break 100 straight, you're not in the money anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Same thing with skeet, which is two houses, and you shoot along a half circle. If you don't go perfect the way through, you probably ought to pack it up and go home, because you're not going to be in the shoot-off.
Oh, this is like watching bowling on TV, I feel like.
Well, yeah, you're just not throwing a strike every time.
Phil tells us how they mix things up a bit to make it more difficult, changing the size or trajectory of the targets.
We also have smaller targets, because your standard sporting clays or trap or skeet targets 108 millimeters in diameter. We also throw 90 millimeter diameter targets, and then there's one that's 60 millimeters in diameter. Then there's also one that's a hard rim, still 108 millimeters, but it runs on the ground, and they call it a rabbit.
So yeah, what about your history? Your general manager,
general manager here. This is a corporation owned by a group of individuals. They have not taken any money out of it. I've spent a lot of money with improvements, with like the shooting stands and benches and things like that, new machines. I've been in shooting sports, bird hunting all my life. I never was much of a big game or four-legged animal type person. I have attempted it, done some of it, but mostly was a bird hunter growing up. But anymore, if it's something that I don't want to eat, I don't think I see the reason to kill it. And these targets are a heck of a lot easier to clean. And to me, sometimes they taste better than duck.
Phil talks a bit about their typical week and devoting every Friday to large groups, corporate events, and even nonprofit benefits.
Yeah, the Ronald McDonald House benefit that we do every year, and this was the 15th year, I believe, that we've done that. This year, I think we made around $75,000 for Ronald McDonald House, and it's something that we are very proud of, that one of our owners had brought that to us, and I've been very, very happy to deal with the Ronald McDonald House people and do that. And with the new house going up down there, and the facility and the things that they do, it's really cool to see 300 people out here all day Saturday and half of the day on Friday trying to break 100 targets.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Where else can you do this near here?
Oh, like, you what's want me your to competition? Tell you about my
competition? Come on, I want to know. I want to know why people come to you.
Would you please go somewhere else? No.
I mean, I ask about your competition only. I want to get a feel, the sense of the sport, the industry. I didn't grow up shooting guns, but I also want to, like, advocate for the listener here who also might not have grown up knowing about this stuff.
Right. And the Boise Valley here is very rifle-oriented.
Yeah.
And so there's, I'm sure there's probably more deer hunters and elk hunters than there are bird hunters.
Right.
But we're not punching the hole in something 150, 200, 300 yards away. We're basically honing our skills on a moving target, and it's you're focusing on the moving target versus the sights or the scope in your gun to hit something. So the big thing that affects shooters a lot is the gun fit. Mm-hmm. And if the gun doesn't fit you, it's not going to shoot where you're looking. Makes versus sense. A rifle, you can adjust everything so you line things up. Right. To poke holes in something, whereas, you know,
are you here saying what you do is harder?
Harder than hunting? Cheaper, yeah.
Okay.
I think that if a person does well in this sport, they will do better as a hunter and conservationist, being able to knock a live bird down and being able to retrieve it and reduce it to possession and food, whereas the person who's just kind of slamming at it may not get that thing to fall where he wants it and be able to retrieve it or have his dog retrieve it.
I guess I'm assuming that most people bring their own guns here.
Right. There's a lot of places around that have pro shops and federal firearms licenses, and the legalities mash up a little bit better with them to be able to rent guns out to whatever group wants to come out and shoot at targets, whereas we don't loan or rent guns.
No, you don't.
To do
okay.
That.
Okay.
You can't do this unless you want to buy a gun. Like, no. What if you want to be somebody, like, I would be open to trying it, but I don't want to buy a gun. How does that work then?
You know, that it might be worthwhile just to set up a lesson and have, this is what I want to do. Is this something you can accommodate me with?
I was going to ask. Oh, what about sporting clay etiquette? You know, I golf comes to mind in terms of just like etiquette on a golf course, and I'm sure there's similar stuff here, plus the safety factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, sporting clays is fun because, for one thing, you can appreciate the shooter that you're shooting with verbally, and you can, you know, pick on them a little bit verbally,
okay,
as long as you remember they've got a loaded gun. But mainly it comes down to the safety end of things. You don't get to load your gun until you're in the shooting stand with the barrel out the window.
Oh.
Okay? Everything we do is in pairs, so you get to load two shells in your gun. So go in with an open and empty gun, you load two shells, you shoot two birds, you reload two shells, however many pair you end up shooting, and you come out of the shooting stand with an open and empty gun, and your muzzle is not sweeping anybody around you. But they can also tell if your action is open on your gun, chances are that's a safe thing. If the action is closed, you have no idea.
Right. We mentioned the possibility of LD shooting again, and Phil breaks it down to us in the simplest terms.
Because you are not of tall stature.
Oh, can I not do it?
No.
I think it'd be good.
Anything like a gun that I would have wouldn't come close to fitting it.
Right, right. Well, yeah, it's very much, it's like if I had to use your golf clubs, I would not be good. Would I need a child's gun? I find that a lot with my height, like children's shoes.
You're not short, you're fun size.
Yeah, right. That's my saying. That's my saying. I have to say, like, just because I have never been in an environment like this, like, we got out of the car and people were shooting right here, and I was like, I'm going to have to get used to that.
And then we head into the clubhouse. It's a no-frills space with low round tables, windows overlooking the valley, rental gun carts that look a bit like baby strollers, and a counter where members can buy ammunition, shirts, gear, and soda. Also, there's a sheepdog called Winchester, who is maybe the world's most adorable creature, aside from my dog. Phil introduces us to one of their regulars, Steve, who tells us about his shooting group.
Most of the guys that shoot out here are ex-hunters. They used to do a lot of bird hunting, and bird hunting has kind of slowed down, and there's not as available to public, you know, to private land like there used to be. So a lot of these old bird hunters that come out here and decided to shoot with a thing called sporting clays. Most of us are retired, so that's where we got our money.
is it comparable then to bird hunting? Is it as fun?
It actually is. It actually is comparable, and it is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so.
And you don't end up with wet feet or anything like that.
Yeah,
you
don't have to clean them.
So did you guys know each other before this, or did you meet doing this?
Yeah, we all probably met here at some time or another, you know. And somebody said, "Hey, you want to come to breakfast?" Yeah, you can come. Meet at Cracker Barrel. And somebody new shows up. Today we have a new guy showed up. Dennis showed up.
We thank Phil and Steve for their time, get the contact info for the shooting instructor, and then head out. Fast forward a week, and after we can't pin down a time with the shooting instructor, Phil gets his hands on a shotgun that will fit me. Fun size, as Phil says, and agrees to give us a brief tutorial. So back out to Black Dog Clays we go.
So mostly I just wanted to take your temperature here. And
there's a lot of temperature taking on this podcast.
There is.
In shocker, I don't even really like going to the doctor for similar reasons.
But yeah, I do kind of want to take your temperature for how you're feeling. Since you're going to be the one who shoots, and you've never shot anything before, so I'm curious how you're feeling.
I think that it helps that I met Phil.
Uh-huh.
I don't know him.
So you feel a little bit more comfortable?
Yeah, I just feel like he's a stand-up guy and that I can trust him because it makes me nervous, obviously. There's safety concerns. I also don't anticipate being good. I kind of feel like my first time shooting a gun should probably be at a target that doesn't move.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But I think you're selling yourself short, though, too, because I think you're someone who picks things up pretty quickly.
I'm not sure about my hand-eye, my trigger-eye coordination. Wish me luck.
All right. Should we get out there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pop some off?
Yeah. All right. What the heck? Okay.
We meet up with Phil yet again, sign some safety release forms, and pick up some earplugs. LD makes sure Phil is still up for it.
Phil, are you nervous? Because I'm nervous.
Gosh.
And then he gives her a short lesson on gun safety, eye dominance, and shooting stance. Then, earplugs in, we head out onto the range.
All right, okay. So.
Right.
And I've pushed this a little further forward, so now it's in spot.
Okay.
So bring it up to your shoulder.
Okay.
Or up to your cheek, down like that. All right, now make sure everything's working. Now push that safety forward with your thumb.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Now I just want you to come down here and don't jerk on the trigger. Just squeeze it until it fires.
Really?
Yeah.
Stay
in.
Okay. Whoa!
Okay, now you get to pull that back.
Pull this
back.
Okay.
Just like that.
Oh, it smells.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Burning gunpowder for the first time.
First round fired, Phil sets me up to take aim at some clay.
Say pull and I'll throw that target and you squeeze off when it gets out there a little ways.
Okay. Ready.
All right, here we go. Just right over the top.
Whoa.
Pull it back.
And a miss.
All right, now when you're ready, you got to push the safety forward and say go.
Oy. Okay, go.
Get under it.
And a miss.
Pull.
Bang.
And right another miss. Shocking. I hand the gun off to take a breather, and Phil suggests I stand behind him to see how he does it. Also, it kind of gives him a chance to show off because, as you might have guessed, he's really good.
When I say pull, hit the doubles button, see what happens.
Okay.
Pull. Oh, I got them both with one shot.
He's that good.
Then it's Joel's turn on a slightly longer barreled gun.
On your call.
Go.
And a miss.
Ready?
And a miss. And another miss. LD steps back in to take another few shots.
Push the safety forward. Call for the bird.
Pull.
Focus. Get in. There you go. There
I did it!
There it is!
Woo!
Back to open it. Gee, you want to save that one to brook your
target? Yeah, I do. Is it hot?
No.
Okay. I hit my first target. Then the pressure's on for Joel, who steps back into the window.
Hey, here we go.
All right. Cool.
Get under it.
Yay! You did it!
I finally hit a target. We stop and chat for a minute, Phil pointing out an older member who walks by, shooting by himself.
Bob there, he flew fighter planes in Korea.
Really?
Wow.
And Bob walks up and down the whole course, picks a place to shoot. It's usually where we're trying to load a target.
Like, no, not here, not
yeah.
here.
He'll walk down to the end, and he'll shoot one, and then he'll come back about halfway and shoot a few there, and he goes up to half, three-fourths of the way, and then he'll come back to the first. And you know, he just gets his exercise in.
Yeah, but, that's funny.
And he doesn't want anybody to pull for him. He doesn't want to shoot with anybody else. But he's the only person that has a Black Dog Clay's name tag.
Oh, really?
I had a name tag made for him because he had a piece of duct tape on his shooting vest with Bob on it.
You're like, we can do better than that.
Yeah, I said, nah, you're a retired cardiologist. We need to up your game just a little bit.
Yeah.
We watch Bob pop off a few more, head up to the clubhouse to drop off the guns and say hello to Winchester again before heading to the car to debrief.
I'm surprised by us.
How so?
I didn't think that we would do... Well, I mean, I guess I don't really know if we did well, but we did well enough to hit a target.
I think if I would have kept at it, then it's like, oh, okay, I can figure this out. Yeah. I can do this now and everything.
Yeah.
But we're obviously not coming out here and shooting.
And that's how I felt. I was like, well, I want to keep trying, but also, yeah, I'm not going to blow through.
Right. It's like you kind of want to. You're like, come on, let's go. Let's keep doing it.
We want to see if you're going to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's expensive though too, so it's like I want to respect that.
Exactly.
I do think it would be fun to do sometime to actually go and pay, you know, to go through and do like a half circuit.
I think so too. I totally would be down to do something like that. It's just the whole like you need a gun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, first time shooting a gun. Any other?
No, I thought it would be scarier.
Yeah.
But I was terrified like up until. After I pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to act like I wasn't.
You didn't. Yeah. It wasn't like you landed on your butt or anything like that.
No.
It was like, no, this is okay. This is all good.
Yeah.
So, and I thought Phil did a good job too with you. Yeah. It seemed like he did a good job of that.
Yeah. He's a good teacher.
Yeah.
Very fatherly. I appreciate that. I miss my dad. Okay. I'll take a break and then head back.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Pop quiz, LD. What's going on with the I-84 construction between Karcher and Franklin Boulevard?
Well, they're widening I-84, so it will have three lanes in both directions. Plus, it'll also have a fourth auxiliary lane between the interchanges, so drivers can get on and off I-84 without merging through traffic.
I can't stump you. What gives?
Dude, it's all on ITD's podcast, Drive Idaho.
Okay, I guess I gotta listen more often.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
Okay, so where do we find this podcast?
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe today.
Back in the studio.
Back in the studio. Post-clay shooting.
Yeah, post-clay shooting. That was fun.
Yeah. You sore?
I'm not even sore, but... Again,
yeah,
we didn't shoot that many rounds.
We did not. Initial impressions?
I just think I didn't realize, maybe because when I was there, I'm just so kind of present and trying to soak up everything that I can. But then listening back through, it's like there's a lot of technical jargon that goes hand in hand with this that at first was like catching me off guard. And it just rolls off of Phil's tongue perfectly.
It's he can been do, his life and livelihood
yeah,
for
he talks
so
about
long.
Speeds and distances, just mm-hmm. like that.
Length of pole.
Yeah. But then I started thinking, I mean, I guess it comes with everything. It just was a lot more noticeable to me because this is just so new.
Sure.
This whole world.
Sure.
What about you?
This was such an instance of the person that we were talking to, or primarily talking to, which was Phil. He really warmed up. So that was kind of nice. I was glad that he warmed up. And then he ended up being so chatty. You know, we hung out with him two different days. So
I'd hang out with him again.
Yeah. Also, he called you fun size.
It's not the first time I've had that.
Okay, all right.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I hadn't heard that one before, and I didn't. But it was it was one of those new ones. What about your central concern?
My central concern of who does this?
Who does this? Yeah,
like an idiot, of course. Duh. There's a whole sporting world that does this.
Yeah.
Athletes, you know, people that have done this their whole lives. So that's not too shocking. Obviously, I just wasn't thinking large enough outside of my own worldview. But we also talked to a handful of past and present duck hunters who do it as well. And some of them enjoy it as much or maybe even more than hunting itself, mainly because it seems a lot less messy.
Yeah.
We had several people reference how you don't have to clean them. It's like, okay, I get it. Yeah.
You can do it for a couple hours in the afternoon, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not tromping through bogs or anything like that or freezing your butt off in a duck blind or something.
Yeah. So it's just this whole other world that I just hadn't yet had the opportunity to collide with.
Yeah.
Check that one off the bucket list. So and I guess for my final, I was surprised by how comfortable I felt the entire time, both times at Black Dog Clays. I think going into any situation like that where you're the outsider, you're worried that people either might think you look silly or you look nosy. And I'm always wondering if the insiders are, like, to me, they look really cool, but also maybe a little pretentious, like they know they look cool. And that was not the case here. And maybe this is just a particular type of shooting range. We talked about it being a no-frills kind of place, and it totally was. And the people there were pretty down to earth. But everybody was really welcoming. They didn't roll their eyes when I asked very basic questions. And they even seemed genuinely interested when I had expressed maybe wanting to try it. Like, you should. You'd be good. I was like, you don't even know me.
How do you know that I would be good?
Right.
I'm bad at everything. You don't know me.
Yeah. Wait, am I bad at everything?
No.
I'm hesitate there, buddy.
No, God. Are you bad at everything? You're good at most things.
Oh, bye.
Jeez.
What is your final takeaway?
Well, this kind of goes back, I guess, to what we were saying, kind of your central concern about, like, who does this? Something that I noticed, Steve, who is one of the guys that we talked to back in the clubhouse, and there was this group of retirees, and he talked about how they meet up for breakfast one day a week, and then they go shooting. And there's something so endearing about that. It's like there's this phenomenon, I don't know if you've come across this before with your dad or grandpa or uncles or anything like that, of men meeting for breakfast and going and doing something. My uncle used to meet friends for breakfast and then they'd go for a hike. My granddad, he used to meet for breakfast with these World War II vets. And then one of them, they'd go to the gym for like one set of three exercises. They'd be there for 18 minutes. I guess, again, I find that endearing. And I'm really hoping to join one of those groups someday.
If anybody's listening... Joel's available. We're just a handful of decades away.
Yeah.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio.
And if you like the podcast, consider supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. This really is a passion project for us, and we'd like to continue making episodes.
But there are no guarantees. So if you'd like us to make another season of the podcast, consider donating $20, $10, or even $5 to keep us in business.
Go visit youknowtheplacepodcast.com and click on the support link on our homepage to make a secure donation.
And I'll tell you what, if 100 of you donate, we'll set up a time to meet in downtown Boise to share a drink and hang out.
With 100 people? Also, tell your friends about the podcast. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Just help us get the word out there, team.
Anything else?
Our sole credit. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys, who's been a supporter since the very beginning.
Tenderoms reach out to me from across oblivion. Like stone, now glad they sing.